Hello and welcome to the Thursday, November 1st, 2012 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Cool diary from Daniel today about a Java exploit that he caught. Now, in this case, actually, the initial infection happened on a benign newspaper website. Turns out that most likely the newspaper website was delivering infected ads at the time. And we have seen this on occasion where normal trusted websites that include ads from different third-party websites are all for a sudden then delivering exploits because the ad provider got infected. Now, the infection in this case then leaked passwords. Whenever the user logged in to a website, immediately at that point, the keystrokes were reported to a server in the Ukraine. Daniel recommends at least you should be very careful about patching Java, and if you can afford to get rid of it. It's really hard to keep Java up to date, and we just learned a few weeks ago that some of the zero-day exploits, in particular if you're more of a target, may hit you several months before there is a patch available. And then we had the last of our Cybersecurity Awareness Month diaries today. I wrote up a quick diary about disaster recovery and business continuity planning. Of course, the two are very much intertwined and typically result in one plan. Also, referring to some of the standards and some of the things that they're recommending when it comes to this kind of activity. And Fox IT, the consulting company that investigated the DigiNotar hack, if you remember, released its final report with its findings about this particular incident. Now, a couple interesting highlights here that I've picked from various press reports. First of all, the analysis was somewhat hampered by the fact that all critical servers were compromised and logs were only stored on those servers and obviously tampered with. So there was no sort of offline or off server, at least kind of log storage happening here. The other fact is that even though some of these systems weren't directly connected to the internet, they were connected to internet connected systems. And then the attacker was able to build tunnels between those internet-connected systems that the attacker breached and the back-end office systems that were not really thought to have internet connectivity. I think we see this a lot where we have sort of this incomplete isolation and then people kind of building their security architecture around the idea that those systems can't be reached from the internet, which is usually not true. Also, Fox IT was able to prove that the individual or the group that breached DigiNotar is the same group that breached Komodo based on identical keys and such that were left behind. And then nothing terribly new, but definitely something to take a look at is if your server has server status or server info enabled. These are commonly installed modules in Apache. And if you don't secure these modules correctly, or if you don't turn them off, then anybody connecting to these specific and well-known web pages, server status or server info, will be able to see what requests are currently being performed against your site. So, for example, someone could use that to enumerate users connected to your site, or to enumerate, for example, administrative pages by waiting for an administrator to actually connect to those pages and then just reading the URLs from server status. Most of the time, the default configuration is to just only make these accessible from localhost. You should set probably a digest password for these pages if you can't turn them off altogether. And the FBI in Southern California arrested 13 individuals who exploited a pretty interesting flaw in the cash withdrawal system of Citibank. Probably other banks are affected as well. Essentially, what they did is they hired conspirators who would open up checking accounts with a little bit of seed money, and then they went to a number of casinos, and all of them at the same time, more or less, within 60 seconds, withdrew money via cash advance from these accounts. Now, what happens is that the account isn't consolidated fast enough for Citibank to figure out that the account got already emptied out by the time the second cash advance is requested. So as a result, they were able to withdraw more money than they actually had deposited in these accounts. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.